Welcome to the United Cast, it's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and today talking about our 1-0 defeat in the Europa League final, the 2025 final against Tottenham Hotspur, the Spurs. We've given them the opportunity to break their what do you call it, trophy drought. That's what the word I'm looking for. Credit to Spurs. They played against us the way that you should, which is a low block, because we can't figure out how to break down a low block. I've been saying it before the final anyway. I said it before the in terms of Amorim, he's got to go. I don't feel disappointed. I don't really feel upset. I mean, if you listen to my preview for the final, I just felt very indifferent going into this. Tottenham's not a rival, so it's not like we're losing, to Man City or something. Don't get me wrong, it's still bad that we've lost this. It's bad in terms of obviously money, Champions League qualification, and of course there's the meme bantery sort of stuff of we're the ones who've lost to Spurs in a cup final. Nobody else, that was us. What can I say about it? What do you say about that? You can throw all the banter that you want at me in terms of again losing to Spurs and all that sort of thing. And look, even when we were going through, because by the way, we've been unbeaten in this competition, I think the whole way through, group stage, knockout stage, all the way through to the final. And as great as it was to, do the comeback against Lyon and batter Bilbao, essentially, in the end, those were all really great moments, great memories. And I said on one of the two podcasts that that's great, but what you need to do in a cup when you make great progress in it is to win it. And we just fell at the last hurdle. I'm confused as to why anybody wants this manager to stay. At this point, especially after this, like this has to sort of wake you up a little bit, because I mean, it's just like statistically and everything like that, he's the worst manager of my lifetime. You just lost the cup final and you're 16th, 17th with, of course, no other trophies. I don't know. Again, you could kind of say like, okay, well, did I have any, did I have any hope going into this game that we would win it? I honestly just thought this was genuinely a 50-50 coin toss. I mean, okay, we had a few chances that were close. We had the ball cleared off the line from a header. We had a few moments, but Spurs took their chance when they got it, and we just, man, we really struggled to break teams down. It doesn't matter who's up front. But yeah, even when, like, I think we threw Maguire up there at the end and Xerxes was up there and everybody was up there, but Tottenham defended like Crystal Palace did, and both of those teams ended up winning their final. That's sometimes what a finals is all about. No, I just, what we need to do now is get rid of this manager. Search for somebody who plays a system that isn't three at the back, because it's clearly not working. Get somebody in who's more Premier League proven. I still, even rewinding back right to the start of Amrim's era, I'm not really sure why we got him to start with, he didn't quite feel, maybe at some point he could have been the right appointment, and I'm speaking as if he's already gone, he's obviously not, but I just never felt like he was the right appointment. And yeah, just, I mean, we started okay with him, and it took the time at the start for the players to get used to this system. I'm still not completely sure they are used to this system. They should be. But yeah, I just, like, when we lost the FA Cup final still too, that still hurts today, losing that FA Cup final to City. And then losing things like the Europa League final, the last one we were in 2021, it felt like there was just more, not more on the line, but it just, I don't know, and maybe it's my personal feelings of just feeling so down and out on this season and just losing so many games and just almost just waiting for the summer. But yeah, look, I don't know if Spurs in this game did what they usually do or anything like that. I don't really know. I know that they play a high line and they press. They clearly switch things up. Credit to Ange, Postecoglou. They clearly adapted. And we didn't. I thought Amram took too long to make subs as well. That was a clear thing that needed to happen earlier. We actually had a very good bench on our hands as well. And you're doing things like bringing on Kobbie Mainoo in the 88th minute. There was just echoes of this final, like the way it happened. There was echoes of this final that was similar to the 2021 final. Although that game went on longer, didn't it? Of just making mistakes on the day. I've been hearing all week about like, oh no, Man United got the better squad. We got the Bruno, Casemiro, Ahmad, all these experienced people. I don't think any of those guys showed up. I don't really think anybody really did necessarily. Yoro played well, handled the pressure obviously for his age and everything. But this is one of them finals where you do expect some of those senior players to stand up. Especially Casemiro, like he's the number one that you'd look at. Bruno's probably the next that you'd look at. I know he's not got as much, you know, European experience as, let's say, Casemiro, who's won, what, 6 Champions Leagues or whatever. But, yeah, both of those were, like, really poor. We may as well have just lost to Lyon. Because then, at least we wouldn't have had to, like, drag our hopes this far, and Tottenham could have played somebody else. I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel a bit empty. I just feel a bit sort of okay. Just get the next one in. Give this. You still need to give this squad a good sort out, but. Because I know there's been a lot of comments about, like, oh, he doesn't have his players, the squad's not good enough. You still should be doing better than this with this squad. We're not this bad. I mean, statistically we are, but we shouldn't be losing cup finals to Spurs and be, 16th in the league. That this squad is not that bad. It's just other things in and around it. I really worry for the, like, if this guy's still here and we haven't built this squad back up enough, which we're not gonna do enough of the work that we need to in one transfer window, but you can do a good chunk of it. I know we've gone for Cunha for 60 million. I don't know why we're paying 60 million for him. He's also not a striker from what I understand, so sounds like just another centre forward. But yeah, apart from individual players, which I'll get to in a minute, I just don't really have anything else to say about this game. It was, because I felt just, again, very 50-50 going into this game of, I wasn't terribly hopeful, but I wasn't sort of like, we've lost before we've kicked the ball. I really just felt bang in the middle about this final, because I felt that we were capable, but I felt the Spurs were also capable, so. And look, it was only 1-0. That basically is a, you know, one-off coin flip, isn't it? So, yeah. I don't think we played very well. We didn't even do the, like, we did a version of it that wasn't effective enough. The sort of panicked football in the last 10 minutes. I know I've mentioned that a lot. Then you got given another 7 minutes and you just couldn't make it happen. Yeah. So, but look, for whether you're a rival, neutral fan, Tottenham fan, whatever, give us all the banter you can. It just, I don't know, it makes me, I know some of you might not understand this reference. It's a bit like when you're attacking a really strong enemy in Final Fantasy VII and you're hitting them. It's like, immune. Like, you can just throw all of the banter that you want at me. I'm just going to be immune to it because I know how bad we are. I know what we're like. So, I just don't feel, I still feel very much in the middle. But we've got to just take this, move on, and do some big changes in the summer. But we I just think we've just got to go and get a Premier League proven manager. I think if Amrim had like another 10 years of experience at like a high level, which the Portugal league is not a high, like they, of course they've done very, very well. They've won their two, he won two Portuguese titles with them, but yeah, it just never felt like it was. And again, I'm talking as if it's over. He could still be here in the summer. But yeah, there you go. I will be, I think, more worried in the summer if he is still here. Like, I'm not worried about that now. And we do still randomly and weirdly have one Premier League game left, so not that that's gonna change a whole lot. That's on Sunday, isn't it? So yeah, it's interesting. I because I saw some people talking about like the different teams we faced in Europa League have all been like obviously foreign teams. I don't think we played anybody who was English in the Europa League. Obviously, there's a few teams per country anyway. But people were kind of pointing out in the ties leading up to this, like, okay, we had a couple of Spanish teams and this and that and the rest of it, and we seemed to do really well against them, but we were struggling in the Premier League. And then look, we come across a Premier League team who are technically worse than us in the Premier League because they are actually below us. There is actually four teams below us in the Premier League, and Tottenham are one of them. We come across a Premier League team in the Europa League, and that's our the block that stumps us. Wasn't something I thought about or really realised, but that technically might be true now, I suppose. Anyway, I don't. Yeah, let's move on from the pre-talk parts here. Johnson obviously scored their first goal. Something that they kept doing that was smart? They kept actually whipping crosses in, and they got a cross that was whipped in the box. Bit of a defensive muck up from Luke Shaw. He sort of handballed it, and it might have been a penalty, but it didn't matter because they scraped. Don't get me wrong, it's a bit of a scrappy goal. It's not like the most well thought out, well technically sound goal or anything. But yeah, they scored their first goal right before half time as well, which can be an annoying time to concede a goal. Obviously, it kind of knocked us back a little bit as well. But we just didn't defend the cross effectively enough. Did Luke Shaw stay on the pitch? He did. Yeah, it was Dorgu, Mazraoui, Mount, and Hoyland that were subbed off. Should have taken Shaw off at half time, really. He just wasn't effective in the game. I don't know if he was fully fit because, well, when was Luke Shaw last fully fit? That's the question, I suppose. But yeah, he has a bit of a clanger at the near post, and Johnson put in more effort and put the ball over the line, so that made it 1-0. And then I honestly just don't feel like there's a lot to talk about with this game, but we'll keep going here with the summary. Then they brought on their first sub, 67 minutes. We should have done some subs at half time. That was when that should have happened. I think Shaw should have come off. Ahmad weirdly should have come off. People were saying Mason Mount should have been subbed off. I think he should just have played in a different position. Honestly, would have taken Bruno. I know it was never going to happen. I think you should have taken Bruno and Casemiro off because they were just both having bad games. And you could have maybe played like Ugarte and Cobbie there, or Mount there, or something. But I knew that was never going to happen. We were never going to take, certainly not Bruno off or Casemiro. But they brought Son on for Richarlison. Here's something that surprised me with their injuries, because they kept going on about like, oh, Maddison's out, Kulusevski's out, and a few other players are out, and that gave Man United the advantage, which didn't turn out to be the case. I was surprised that Son didn't start, because I was going through their team a little bit in the preview, and I was like, okay, Richarlison's there, Solanke could do some stuff. Suns obviously probably one of their most effective players. Obviously, Madison would have been there. Kulusevski, they got Bissouma. I thought Bissouma was pretty good in this game. But yeah, they didn't start Sun. Turns out they didn't really need to. But yeah, they brought on their player sooner. Then in the 71st minute, just far too late, Xerxes on for Højlund. Not surprised. Garnacho on for Mount. Now, Garnacho was very, very effective when he was brought on. He probably should have started this game. I still would have started Mount, but I would have maybe. Because to be honest, this might sound like a weird thing, and I didn't really go through it in the preview. I don't really know what squad I would have started for this final because we also didn't know, like, hey, is Xerxes fully fit? He's back in the squad, whatever that means. Yoro was coming back, Heaven was coming back. So I just heard so much different mixed news about who was back in, who was fully fit, who was in the match squad. I never sort of in my mind settled on like a starting team for this game. So, but anyway, Garnacho on for Mount. I thought Mount was doing all right in the game. I just think he should have been moved somewhere. But again, I'm not completely sure as to where. But yeah, Garnacho was a good sub. Xerxes was as well. Yeah, anyway. Garnacho, I thought, again, should have maybe started. Xerxes possibly should have started, but then was he fully fit? Da 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 da, whatever else. Then they made another sub, Danzo coming on, obviously going a bit more defensive. And then Dalot came on for Mazraoui. I thought Mazraoui was very, very poor in this game. I think, yeah, maybe that's the conversation for the summer. I don't think we're going to get rid of him, but maybe we need to settle him into a position. He doesn't seem like he's a wing back, and I would definitely not have started him as a wing back in this game. I would have probably started Ahmed there, and if I would have started Mazraoui, it would have been at the right centre back, I think. But I would rather have had Dalot at the wing back than Mazraoui. I've just never seen Mazraoui really settle there, so I was quite surprised to see that in the team sheet. And then they made a few other subs, and then we brought on Kobbie Fadogu in the 90th minute, which kind of reminded me of the old Donny subs, when he used to get brought on really late. Yeah, it just annoys me a bit that we did have an effective bench, but you just took too long to use it. I really think we should have done some subs at halftime, and there's a few blatant people we should have taken off. Again, I would have maybe even taken off Bruno and Casemiro. Yes, you got the experience. Yes, they're first team senior players. The problem with our squad that we've got, though, not only is it a bit too small, but you could make the argument of, okay, if I would have taken off Bruno and Casemiro, who would I have brought on? Who are the sort of obvious replacements? Maybe it would have been Ugarte and Kobbie or something like that, but that was never going to happen anyway. So, yeah. Feels like one that was a missed opportunity with the subs, and that is on the manager. I mean, a player can't just walk off and another one walk on without instructions, can they? And they also have to be told to warm up and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, a very annoying final. But anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back in a minute, do player ratings, and then I guess I'll well, not wrapping up here because we do still have one more game, and then I'll do a season wrap up. Maybe next week because there's only going to be two more podcasts, which is this, and then the actual season wrap up. I'm obviously not going to be podcasting on the Villa game. But yeah, some point next week, maybe after I've finished up with The Last of Us. I'll do a season wrap up and we can discuss things from there. But we also need a decision from the board as well about. So I may even wait a little bit for that as to whether Amrim does or does not stay. If I had to guess right now, I think he's going to stay. But you shouldn't because you shouldn't have Man United with no trophies at 16th. That's just not acceptable. And it's just weird to me that with last season, with a very similar group of players, Eric finished 8th, which still isn't good, but it's much better than 16th. And no one was talking about us getting relegated last year. and then an FA Cup. So regardless of if you like the FA Cup more than the Europa League, which I like the FA Cup a lot more than the Europa League, I think it's just a better trophy. Amrim didn't come away with his anyway, so the argument on like, oh, if he wins Europa and then finishes 16th, should he stay? Well, he didn't win Europa, so you knock that down as well. This is an awful, awful season. This is, yeah. Anyway, can save some of that talk for the wrap up and whatnot, and see what goes on there. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back and do player ratings. See if that in a minute.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, let's get into player ratings. Who's my man of the match? I'm going to give it to Lenny Yoro again, I think. I think he stood out the most. I think he performed the best. Didn't really make many mistakes from what I remember. Was relatively cool, calm and collected. And yeah, in terms of players shining and doing something significant, he was really the only, apart from Garnacho's substitute appearance, which was also good. Nobody else really did anything in this game, so I'm gonna go with an 8 for him. I thought it was very good. Onana could have maybe done better with the goal, but I think that's on Luke Shaw. I think he's just got to deal with that better first before it gets to Onana. Could also stop the cross, tackle the player crossing it in, but you know, we didn't do any of that. Maguire, I thought Maguire was decent in this game. Not as good in the, well, it's not fair to criticise a defender for not being good in the attack, is it? Because that's not really what they're there for. But still did pretty well. Still did pretty well. I'm going to give him a 7. This app has given Luke Shaw a 6. I'm going to give him a 0. I thought he was terrible. I really, really, he's just lost something. Again, you know, could argue, is he fully fit? He just needs to go. I think he just needs to go now. He needs to be one that goes in the summer. He does still have, I think it's 2 years. Can I click on his name here and see when his contract expires? Yeah, 2027. So we've still got 2 years of him, unless someone buys him for cheap, but I don't know who would do that. So we may just have to run his contract down, which is a pain. Look, I used to like him a lot. He's not even been in the squad that much in the last couple of years. But also just kept passing the ball back in this game. Like, why are you passing the ball back so much? Especially when more urgency was needed in terms of going 1-0 down. And then, but he also should have been subbed off at halftime, I think. Because you could probably have moved Yoro to left centre-back. He's played there before. Move Mazraoui back maybe, then brought the low one. There's a few different, we have plenty of people on the bench to be able to bring Luke Shaw off, but, or take Luke Shaw off, but he didn't actually take him off, so that's on the manager. Mazraoui, I'm going to give him a 3. I thought he tried, if that's any credit. I just don't think he really had any effect on this game. But he just, yeah, again in this game, didn't look comfortable as a wing back. He just doesn't feel like that sort of player at all. There's a few clumsy fouls he did as well, so I'm going to give him a 3. Casemiro and Bruno Fernandes, I think I've got to give them both a 3 as well. They both tried a lot of stuff, but gave the ball away really sloppily, the pair of them. I thought they were pretty much both as bad as each other. Bruno's been better recently. Casemiro's been decent recently. And look, there's talk at the moment of, like, obviously who's going to go in the summer. There's some talk that, I can't remember which one, but one of the Saudi teams is going to try, they haven't officially done it yet, but there's talks of a £150 million offer. I think you got to take that with Bruno. I know that might seem mad because he does score a lot of goals, does get a lot of assists, but he's also on the wrong side of 30. And that's, I think that's almost also just too much money to turn down. And you can get two players who can cover that position with that sort of money. He was involved a lot, but not a lot of what he did was actually very effective. And some of that sort of panicked, scrappy Bruno play was in there, and it was a shame to see that, because I haven't seen as much of that recently. And Casemiro as well, I expect much better from you, particularly in a European final. Especially, like, because he's been in European finals for Real Madrid. Like, that's the high altar of football. You might be in a European final, but you're only playing against a Tottenham team that is technically worse than you. And I thought he just had a really weird game again. I would argue for both of them to go in the summer, and just sometimes you've got to look and you've got to upgrade. And yeah, I think this summer, I think they're both going to stay. I think that's what's going to happen. Which I'm annoyingly and weirdly kind of already settled on, like, no, Amrim's probably going to stay, Bruno's going to stay, Casemiro's going to stay. But again, we didn't play brilliantly in this game, and are we magically going to get better between now and the beginning of August? I can't see it myself, unless you make changes. Obviously, if you make changes, you can get better, but there's some changes that need to be made, and we need to actually do them, so we shall see. Dorgu, I thought Dorgu had a poor game as well. I'll probably give him I don't know what I would give Dorgu. Maybe a 3 as well. I just wasn't quite sort of effective enough in this game, I thought. But yeah, I have nothing more to say about him. I got Ahmad. I thought Ahmad was weirdly poor in this game. There was some things that I don't expect to see Ahmad doing that he was doing, like failing to beat certain players in situations. And it just wasn't his day. He just, you could make the argument of, okay, if you move him from the right 10 to the right wing back, but would that have actually made that much difference? It might have done, but he still should be quite good in both slots, positions rather. But yeah, it just wasn't his day. I'll probably give him 5, I think, maybe. Hoyland, how much service did he get? There's one, like, decent header which was crossed to him a bit awkwardly. Maybe he could have done better than that. So again, the sort of 5% service. I thought he actually played better than what he has done recently. Like, there was some decent hold-up play and that sort of thing. So, for the involvement that he had in the game, which was still not a ton, I'd maybe give him a 6, I think. I don't know. And then Mason Mount, I think he should have played more in this game. I thought he did decently, but it just looked awkward sort of positionally. I don't think Dorgu helped. I think for both sides of the pitch, where you've got Shaw, Dorgu, Mount, and then Nyoro, Mazraoui, Ahmad, none of those two sides clicked with each other, and it's very, very important. I mean, it's important all over the pitch that these characters have good relationships with each other. Did I say characters? These players have good relationships with each other. But I don't think Mount was helped out in that sort of situation, so I'll give him a 6 as well. Harry's moved on to the bench. We had Xerxes, who came on, instantly made an impact. If he wasn't able to start the game, I think he should have at least been brought on much earlier. Whether it would have been for Mount or Hoyland, I wasn't really bothered, but he should have been brought on. He clearly had something to offer. Garnacho, I think, should have started the game. Again, if you kind of... The sticking point for me with the starting 11 is if you move Mazraoui out of where he is, put Ahmad there, and that gives you another selection. Because you can honestly just take Mazraoui out of the team, put Ahmad there, and then in terms of like the attacking options, so whether you're talking about Xerxes, Garnacho, where Mount plays, everything else, that gives you another slot to play around with. I mean, you could have put Garnacho there. That would have been, you know, good to have maybe Garnacho and Ahmad on the same side with Yoro sort of behind them. I think that would have been better. And then move Mount somewhere else. I don't know. But yeah. Then you got Garnacho again, very impactful off the bench, but should have been brought on much earlier. Delow, didn't really see much of him, to be honest, can't really comment. And then Cobby, I don't know if I saw Cobby touch the ball, to be honest, so can't really talk about him. On the bench we had, again, reading this out, it's a pretty good bench, you can do some stuff with it. We had Amas, Biendir, Collier, Delow, Eriksen, he could have been brought on, made a difference, Evans, Garnacho, Heaven, Lindelof, Cobby, Ugarte, Xerxes. So that means that, Eriksen, Ugarte weren't even used in this game. So, yeah. And then the injury list is, De Ligt is out with an injury, Martinez and Obi is not able to play in the Europa League. That's it. That's the final. That's pretty much the end of the season. I do still have a little bit of time here. Is there anything else I want to say? I feel like this season has just slowly... Because we kind of went from... At least I went from... Okay, keep Ten Hag, because I still wanted them to build on what we had in the summer. Didn't get backed enough in the summer. I still don't think. He still needed like the extra striker, probably some other players as well. Didn't really get those. Had a bit of a shaky start. It looked like it was maybe savable, but got sacked. And then arguably our best period of the season, Ruud van Nistelrooy came in as an interim and actually did all right. You could probably argue that we should have kept Ruud van Nistelrooy instead of getting Ruben Amorim in, and even as of right now, I don't think, where did he go? Leicester afterwards, right? I don't think he's the manager there anymore, because he probably got sacked from that. And okay, you could argue, should we get the manager who's been sacked for Leicester? But before he went there, he was doing all right, we were winning games, we were doing all right. How many games was he in charge for? It was like 4 or something, wasn't it? That was our best period of the season. And then, you know, we got Amorim in. It started okay. I remember that Ipswich game when we scored like after a minute. And it was like, yes, we're kind of back on track. And Rashford scored. And then it just slowly but surely completely fell apart after that. But yeah, this Amorim thing, it's just not worked at all. It's just honestly not worked at all. Again, you can make the argument of, what about if we back him in the summer and get him his players? I don't want to try that. That sounds more like an experiment rather than an actual plan. I'm like, hey, we did really badly. Should we keep some of the elements that we've got and try and add more to them? I just don't like the sound of that experiment, because that doesn't sound like an actual plan. And football clubs should have plans, but that doesn't sound like a good idea to me. I don't think this is sort of Amrim's incapable of being a manager. He just should have stayed at Sporting. Like we just should have never got him in the first place. I just and look, that's down to, what's his name? Brada. Obviously you've got Jim Radcliffe, Glazers. It's up to all of them. I found it quite funny when I remember before Ten Hag got sacked and we were a bit on the ropes with Ten Hag. And Jim was asked in an interview, like, "Hey, what do you think of Eric's future?" And he was like, "Oh, it's not up to me. You're the owner of the football club, man, or the co-owner of the football club. What do you mean it's not up to you?" Now, it might not be up to him to make the final decision, but if you wanted him gone gladly enough, you could probably have made it happen. Otherwise, what did you put your shares into if you can't, if you haven't even got control over the situation of the manager? Because he was saying at the time, like, oh, it's up to the executives, Berardi and all that. But I just the problem I have now is I don't trust Jim Ratcliffe. I don't trust Ineos. I don't certainly, obviously, don't trust the Glazers. I don't trust Amorim. I don't trust some of these players. So we need a bigger reset than just, oh yeah, sell some players, get a new manager in, and you use the summer to whether it is the same system that Amrim's going to do, but someone who can do it better, or going back to the 4-2 thingamajig, whatever it is, 4-2-3-1, 4-2, whatever. Going back to a manager who plays that. And building on that, like we've got to pick a lane and stick to it. But see, one thing that's been pointed out quite a lot, and this isn't even something I agree. It is something I agree with, but that's not the relevant part. Is how okay you maybe can do three at the back in the Premier League, and that's what I mean when it comes to okay Amrim's 3-4-3. Just because it worked at Sporting and just because he won stuff at Sporting, it doesn't mean it's going to work in the Premier League. It doesn't mean it would work in Germany or in Spain or in the French League because every league is different. That's why I really do now want someone who, and there's a very short list, there's basically Pellegrini, I think his name's Pellegrini, the former City manager, and Conte. But A, I don't think either of those managers would get on with these owners. Because the other thing we really need to do, if you're really talking big picture, is have someone who's a better owner come in and clean out Ineos and the Glazers and then, like, properly start fresh. So, the idea genuinely scares me in a football sense of, because obviously the likelihood of us having Ineos and the Glazers here. In the summer, they'll probably both still be here. They're probably not going anywhere. Ineos and the Glazers is, oh, because he hasn't had a summer transfer window yet. Let's back him. Let's spend another 200 to 300 million. Sell some players, buy some players, and then that doesn't work. But yeah, going back to the point I was making. Doing the three at the back. Can maybe work in the Premier League. I think that's what City do, but City do a different variant of it. But when you play the two in midfield, and it happened again today, when you play the two in midfield against a team in the Premier League that's either doing 4-4-2, or which most Premier League teams do is 4-3-3. Most Premier League teams, I think, play 4-3-3 or like a 4-2-3-1. So you still have the three in midfield, and we get outnumbered every single time in midfield. And what's is frustrating about Amrim is he never once in any game went away from the four sorry th 3-4-3. He never changed it once in pretty much any game. And you have to be adaptable. Ange, if that's how you say his name, he clearly adapted because the way that Tottenham played after they went 1-0 up and going like they're essentially five at the back. From what I hear, that's not what Tottenham do. I don't really keep an eye on what Tottenham do because why do I need to? That's not what I hear Tottenham do. I'm always hearing about Tottenham's high press and high line, and that's not what they were doing. That's not what they were doing when. So it seemed like Ange realised, okay, they're struggling to break us down. We're already 1-0 up. Rather than pressing them and going a high line, which Tottenham didn't need to do, go five at the back. Adapt, change. And in this game, we still didn't do it. He still didn't adapt or change anything. And It's even worse when you don't do it in a final as opposed to when you don't do it in a Premier League game. And arguably in the Premier League, because you're over the course of a season, there's more room to do it. There's no room to do that in a final. So he's got to go. And look, when I like wanted Ole to get sacked, and it was obviously clear Ragnar wasn't going to stay anyway, and I was more genuinely annoyed as to what Ole was doing towards the end, and there were things that he just wouldn't budge on and he wouldn't do. I don't feel the sort of aggression towards Amorim. I just sort of feel like, look, you came in, you tried to do this thing, it very clearly didn't work. You'd not shown that you wanted to adapt. And it's just a failed experiment, and I don't want to continue this experiment anymore. So, yeah. But there you go. Anyway, we move on to whatever happens Sunday. The only thing I'm remotely bothered about happening on Sunday is just don't be winning the game at halftime, because we are at home and we do still have our very precious halftime record. We got nothing to really play for. Aston Villa do. We're at home. I just ask that we're not leading the game at halftime, because, I mean, if we go on and win the game, cool, it's always nice to win a game, but if you're going to do it, just make sure you're not winning at halftime. Because, again, do you trust these group of players to be winning at halftime and to actually see it out? I don't. So, there we go. That's the Europa League final. Don't get me wrong, it was great to come back and do all the great moments we had in the previous rounds, but there was just something sitting there that wouldn't let me get excited for the prospect of a cup final. And you know what? I'm glad I didn't get excited about this cup final, because if I'd I woke up today and be like, oh, we can win a trophy, suddenly get excited and then lose, then that's the point where you get at, you know, you rise your hopes back up, and then they actually get pushed down. They were already pushed down, so I've been safe from that all day. And all week, and you know, since the whistle blew on the second leg of the semi-final. And it wasn't that I didn't believe we couldn't win it, because again, when we knew, oh, Tottenham, coin flip, and then it was, you know, the result is it landed on Tottenham 1-0, and that's that. But and there was a lot of like, because I watched like a few different previews sort of yesterday and day before, a lot of people seemed very, very confident of like, oh yeah, man, you know, Tottenham are actually technically worse than Man United have a better squad, therefore we should win. And it just something just about this game, and I've never felt this way when Man United have been in a cup final, like when we did the FA Cup final last year, when we did the Carabao Cup final, the FA Cup final the year before that, the Europa League final before that, and then whatever other finals we've been in recent memory. I had hope in all of those finals, and there was something there which I felt was doable and workable. And some of those finals we won, like the 2017 one, we won the Carabao Cup final, we won the FA Cup final, and it felt brilliant when we did. There was just something telling me not to be hopeful about this cup final, and I'm sort of glad I didn't get excited or whatever. So yeah, there we go. Anyway, you may have felt differently. And look, if you did get your hopes up, if you did get excited about like, oh, winning a trophy and that, I hope. And plus, I know as a football fan, the difference is between like the high elation of like, oh my God, we actually won it, we've actually done it, and then the absolute rock bottom despair of, oh my God, I thought we were going to win and we lost, it feels awful. I've avoided that feeling, which I do feel better about. So, yeah. And again, it's not a case of I didn't think we could, or wasn't like, thought we already lost it before the ball got kicked. There was just something different about this final where I thought like, just don't get your hopes up. Maybe it's just just how we've been this season, and that just. I don't know, people have talked about like we've almost been a different team in the Europa League as opposed to the Premier League. And I agreed with that, but then it just didn't follow through to the final, did it? But what was the big difference? We actually played a Premier League team in the cup final. So maybe there's something in that. So there we go. Anyway, give me your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on this final. If you have any feedback or anything for the wrap-up. If you want Amrim to stay, you're entitled to your opinion, of course. I don't think either of us are really right or wrong about that necessarily. Whatever. But if you do have hope still that Amrim can do something, if you think he will stay, write in. Let me know what that's all about. We can have, hopefully, a healthy discussion on all of that. So yeah. Anyway, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK and Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, my United podcast. Of course, there'll be one more United cast for the season. And then at some point in August, whenever the start date is, I'll obviously do a preview for next season once we've done some transfers and all that kind of stuff. And we'll see how all that goes. You know what? I'm kind of glad that, not in a way of we lost, but like the preparing of the possibility of us losing, having that in the back of my mind, but then also knowing I'm talking about Last of Us Season 2 Episode 6 tomorrow, been excited about that. Very, very excited about that. So at least I can go from this to that. So yeah, kind of glad this final was on a Wednesday. By the way, still felt really weird to watch this game on Wednesday. So, anyway, there we go. And yeah, if you've still got feedback for Last of Us Season 2 Episode 6 or any predictions or anything else, you still have time to write in into all of our shows that you want to do that for. Anyway, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main night podcast. If you want to support what we do, you can, of course, listen to more episodes. Whether my social media, if someone mentions something we podcast on, please tell them about some podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, of course, Geek Town Radio, new one from yesterday. So go and check that one out for all your TV and your film news. Lots of stuff going on. Yellow Jackets got renewed as well. Awesome. I don't know if I want to do a podcast on that, actually. Or just wait for the new season to come around. I'll decide at some point soon, I suppose. But yes, that was something that made me happy. Yellow Jackets got renewed for season 4, so you can check all of that out. Geek Town Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk throughout the week for all your TV and your film news. And you can also find us on YouTube for our video game bits and pieces and other stuff on YouTube. Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks for listening. And let's move on from here. But I feel immune to banter. There's people at work I'll be seeing tomorrow. One of them is a Liverpool fan. One of them is an Arsenal fan. One of them is a Palace and a Man United fan, who will be feeling. I guess that'd be an interesting feeling. Who else is there at work? Anyway, never mind. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.